Hi, this is Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios 24/7. You know, I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and also for your feedback. We need your feedback. You know, one thing that helps is if you could go, like if you listen, depending on the platform, to rate the podcast. That would be really nice. Many of you have done that already, and you honor me with your kind comments. And so just remember that's something that you can do that would really help. And you can also, of course, share the link to the show or tell people about it, because you can find it anywhere on any podcast platform, certainly on AFR.net. You can find it by going to our website, sandyrios.com. And you know, you can call me at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. I can't chat with you at that line, but I will use your comments on a later show. Maybe. I can't promise all of you that, but I would say a lot of you, we will play your comments, and we love hearing them. And you can email me at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net, and you can find us on other social media platforms. All right, today I'm going to be talking with my good friend Frank Gaffney. Frank, I've just known Frank since before, when I was on the radio in Chicago in the 90s. And then when I went to Washington, D.C., we became very good friends. And you'll hear us talk about that a little bit in this interaction. Frank was kind enough to interview me on God's Velvet Hammer. That's my new book, For Securing America with Frank Gaffney on Real America's Voice. And that's the source of the audio today. I know you've heard about the book, but every interview is slightly different. So I hope that you'll enjoy this. And meanwhile, we are all about saving babies' lives. You hear about that, saving babies' lives, on this show every single time you listen. And that's because it's really important to me personally. I've told you the story of me being 21, 22 years old in Berlin, Germany, and opening the drawer of a desk in Berlin Brigade, just looking for a piece of paper. And to my surprise, instead of a piece of paper, I saw a brochure about abortion. I saw photos of babies torn apart. I saw what happens when they, you know, they used to apply acid to destroy them. It was horrific. It was like a pornographic image in my mind that has never left me all of these years. I didn't really know what abortion was until that moment. And that's what sparked that passion in me to save their lives. I don't know what your story is, but I know many of you have one too. And that's why you generously support preborn.com. And I appreciate it so much. And if you'd like to continue, if you'd like to start for the first time, they provide ultrasounds for moms so they can, again, pictures. They can see their babies and see, you know, their features and see their hands sucking their fingers. It's just an amazing experience. Many of them, more than half, at least sometimes up to 70%, maybe 80, decide to save their babies. That's how it works. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, sit back and relax, and I hope you enjoy today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Welcome to Securing America with me, Frank Gaffney, the program that's a kind of owner's manual for protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and his kingdom. We're in for a special treat, particularly for those of you who listen to this program on the American Family Radio Network, because a woman who was a mainstay of that network for many years is our first guest. Her name is Sandy Rios. She was the chipper morning show voice at AFR, as well as an incredibly
informative, thoughtful, and engaging commentator on that network. We're sorry to say that she's not doing it anymore, but she is doing a show of her own, a podcast, the Sandy Rios Show, I believe it is called. It certainly should be. And more to the point, she is the author of a brand new book entitled God's Velvet Hammer. And I just want to say before we turn the microphone over to this really accomplished radio personality, let me sing her praises for just a moment. Sandy is one of my dearest friends. I've had the privilege of knowing her for, I don't know how long, 15 years, maybe something like that, maybe longer. Partly because in addition to what she has done in the radio space, she has been a real leader of the conservative movement in America for many years, notably during her time as Concerned Women with America, which she ran, and subsequently in various other incarnations and capacities. This new book is a wonderful read about her life and her experiences. We'll be talking about some of them with her in the course of the program. But I just wanted to level set with you all by telling you, you're in for a treat. She is a wonderful storyteller as well as one of the people I admire most in our line of work. So welcome, Sandy Rios, my dear friend to Securing
Thank you,
America.
Frank. That is so sweet because, you know, when I first got to DC, that's when we actually met. I think I interviewed you on my Chicago Drive Time show for years. And so we knew that each other that way, but I finally actually got to meet you and you came to CWA to brief me right after 9/11, and I had just arrived at CWA on 9/11. So really, you birthed my knowledge of jihad, and it's such great information. And I have to say right back to you, Frank, I have been one of your biggest, you step in it all the time because you speak the truth. And I've been one of your biggest defenders and cheerleaders because I admire that in you. So, and could I just...
Not only that, if I could just interrupt for one thing, yeah. You actually made it possible for me to begin doing what I have done ever since, which is a daily 1 minute commentary. It featured prominently on your program after you encouraged me to do it. It's called Secure Freedom Minute. People can subscribe to it at securingamerica.tv or securefreedom.org, the Center for Security Policy site. And I can never adequately express, Sandy, how life-altering that was because it, well, it's a lot cheaper than therapy, it turns out. Every day to get off my chest 154 words about whatever is making me crazy at the moment is really a God thing. So thank you for that, my dear.
It was just you enhanced my show so much for you. And that's perfect for you, Frank. And I have to say, because I've said this to you, you know, I've done commentaries. I did them for Salem Network. I did them for Moody Broadcasting Network. It is easier to do the 3 hour radio show than
true.
To create a 1 minute to say something important in 1 minute. And you hit the mark every single day, Frank. I don't know many people that can do that. So
you know, most people will tell you, I don't have time to write something that short.
Exactly.
It's really true.
That is the point.
Anyway, enough about my short works. Let's talk about your long work. Congratulations on this book, Sandy. It's, you know, most memoirs are pretty tedious things. And I know you're really not all that comfortable talking about yourself. And maybe that's why yours is so engaging. It's it's a wonderful story. I haven't gotten all the way through it, I confess, but my skimming of important chapters are really testify to the remarkable person that you are and the remarkable life that you've led. Give us just a short flavor of it, if you would.
Well, I think what I'd have to say is, honestly, Frank, I probably had like nine lives like a cat. I've had so many different iterations of my life. And I'm from a very small town. You know, when I'm with you and others like you, you guys are so eloquent. And I came up, my dad didn't even graduate from the eighth grade. I mean, I was a good student. I mean, but I just don't have that scholarly background or a law degree. And so I, you know, why God would actually pick me out and send me on these missions is a mystery to me. And it's a mystery to me. And it's like, so
he works in mysterious ways, as the Bible says, right?
He really does. So, but I would say that when I was nine, because this is an important part of my story, of course, some people won't understand this, but when I was nine, I felt God really pulling at me, and I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, but he just was relentless, lasted about a year, and I finally just surrendered. And then when I did that, Frank, I just said, well, wherever you want me to go. And so that's another story. But let me just say that fast forward to 21, and I found myself living in Cold War Berlin. I would take my little orange Volkswagen and drive through Checkpoint Charlie, which you had to have ID. You couldn't roll down your window. You had to have this certificate that said, you know, what your name was and where you were from. You drove through the tank barriers as the East German guard looked down in your face and looked at your ID. And then there
It
were
does.
guards pointing guns at you. And so then I would get into East Berlin, which was colorless, silent. There were hardly any cars on the streets, Frank. When you go to a restaurant, people would just be looking down. And you could just hear the clicking of the forks on the plate. And occasionally you'd see someone look at you and then just glance down because the oppression was so thick. Russian
Yes.
officers everywhere, East German guards everywhere. It was so
The
oppressive.
Stasi, and not only the Stasi, but it turns out, everybody was ratting on everybody under the kind of oppression that you're talking about. They had to.
Absolutely. You know, right now there's I'll get off the subject for just it's not off the subject, but there is a series now or a flurry of productions and movies and series about East Germany and East Berlin right now,
Is it?
which I've never heard them talk about it before. The Germans didn't want to talk about it, but
Yeah.
they're fascinating. And I saw it. So then we would drive back through Checkpoint Charlie. I had to, it's another story. My first black friend, Mita, she used to go with me, and we made quite a spectacle. This is during the height of, oh, the riots and Watts and all the bad things and the racial tension. And so Mita and I made quite just a spectacle just being together, being in East Berlin. So we come back through the checkpoint, and honestly, freedom. It's just like freedom. You just, and that, honestly, Frank, you and I both, you know, secure freedom. We both have seen what it means when people are not free. I later saw it in Russia several trips during the time of the Soviet Union, and saw it in China. I saw it
China.
in North Korea. I mean, these are the places that God took me before I came to Washington, D.C. So that's where
You know,
I'm at.
it's so interesting. I haven't seen the latest flurry, but I remember being very powerfully moved by a film called The Lives of Others, which talked about this incredible oppression of having your every move monitored every moment. And that was in the old days when it was pretty much a labor intensive thing. What we're talking about now, Sandy, and you understand so well, is the application of modern technology in places like communist China to create a social credit score that makes sure that absolutely everything is monitored and surveilled and used against anybody who deviates from the party line. We have to take a short break. I want to talk with you a little bit about some of your experiences behind the Iron Curtain in other countries, and how it further inspired your love of freedom in our own country. Sandy Rios is our guest. She'll be right back with more. Welcome back. We're visiting with the famous Sandy Rios. Famous doesn't begin to describe it. She is a woman of so many parts, among other things, a very highly skilled professional singer, as well as now an accomplished author and one of the, first tier conservative leaders in America. And I'm so proud to have her as a dear friend and valued colleague. Sandy, you were talking a little bit about your experiences behind what came to be called the Iron Curtain, Checkpoint Charlie being one of its iconic locations. But you spent time in some other unsavory parts of that dark space. Tell us a little bit about your experiences in Moscow. back in
Yes,
the day.
this is a fascinating story. And I think I would say one of the things I talk about in the book, I hate it when people say it's in the book, but this is really a theme where something, I get a call out of the blue to do something I couldn't even have imagined. First of all, I love Russia. I love Russian history. I named my daughter Sasha. I almost named my son Nicholas Mikhail. That's how much I loved Russian history. And of course, I grew up during the Cold War and shelters and hiding under your desk and all of this. And I remember when Khrushchev banged his shoe on the lectern at the UN and said, "We will bury you." So with that, I get a call. Would you like to go to Moscow for 2 weeks and be a reporter? Now, I've never done any reporting, Frank. I never done any reporting. I was a musician at that point. I was on stage a lot singing. I was interviewed for that, but not this. So I said, "Is a bluebird blue? Is the Pope Catholic?" And so off I went. So I was there for 2 weeks. I was supposed to have an interpreter. My guide was a ballerina named Tanya. She was my interpreter. Oh my gosh, that's a whole story in itself, but I'll give you some highlights. We did the first radio
And
book.
again, what was the date?
This would have been 1991, I think the spring of 91.
A very
Yeah,
momentous period.
yes, it's right before Yeltsin was, it was the during the ele Boris Yeltsin was running, you know, posters everywhere, but the Soviet Union was still intact.
Right.
So we did the
And
first.
Mikhail Gorbachev was still nominally in charge.
Yes, well, of course, I wasn't there in the thick of the politics, although I was in the thick of the KGB, working
Right.
with some of the agents. We did the first American radio broadcast from Radio Moscow, Frank. Radio Moscow. Nobody's ever done that. And so I interviewed the guy in charge of English language program, Yuri Manayev. I wish I had time to tell you everything. I would just say that there was a theme in this, and that I talked to Yuri. We sat at a wooden table on a parquet floor, and he was telling me, I don't know why he said this, but he pulled out a box. It had a cross in it. I don't know why he did this. And he said, "My grandmother told me about God." And then he starts, I said, as the conversation went on, I said, "But Yuri, you guys are arresting people in the underground church left and right. And your grandmother's there. Doesn't that bother you?" And he said, and he pulls his chair back on that parquet floor, and you could hear the noise. And he said, "It affected me very much."
This is being broadcast.
This was aired later,
This
when
is
I was
off air.
in the States.
Off
The
air.
broadcast was
Okay.
live. This is separate.
Got
And
it.
so, and then I interviewed your neurologist who dealt with autistic kids. And I went into her apartment because Tanya had, my interpreter had an autistic son. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
She wanted me to meet the woman that was helping
Was
her.
treating her.
And it was Clara Libedinskaya. And Frank, she had the most beautiful blue eyes, but her face was hard and rugged as women trying to live their lives in Moscow at that time. And she wasn't a communist, or at least had been. So we sat at the table, and Tanya interpreted, and it was like she was lecturing me. Well, I didn't mind, I loved it, on the causes of autism. I found it fascinating. But at the end, she's telling me about all of the reasons why evolution has created this. But then she said, she looked up and looked off to the side, those beautiful blue eyes, and she said, "But we are beginning to think that maybe there is a God." She volunteered that to me. Frank, I have so many stories about Moscow that just,
And they are in the book, at
they
least
are in the book,
quite a
but
number of them. And let's re remember, the book is God's Velvet Hammer,
yeah.
and people can find it, as I understand it, Sandy, not only in bookstores. We'll have an image of that up on our screen too,
Okay.
but it is also available at sandyrios.com, your website, where people should visit. Also, where they can find, as I understand it, Sandy Rios 24/7, which
Yes.
is the proper title of the show, not the Sandy Rios show. Sandy, we're going to run out of time before we run out of things to talk about, but I did want to just ask you about a particularly extraordinary moment. You had, as I recall, been in North Korea Right up till the moment of the 9/11 attacks, is that right? And you had just left to get into Mongolia. Tell us that story quickly if you can, because that's, I mean, such a vivid life experience for you and one that needs to be shared.
We had gone to Northern Manchuria to interview North Korean escapees who were hiding in caves and homes. And that's a whole issue in itself. The people
Right.
I saw, the interviews I did. And then in the middle of this, we were asked if we wanted to go into North Korea. Frank, in 2001, no one was going into North Korea. So this was a stunning thing. So they asked the people in charge, asked six of us. I was the spokesperson for the Bible League then, and that's why I'm sure they asked me to come in. But there were talk show hosts from the major cities around the country. So we go in and we spend the day. We went into their schools. We saw the kids with all that wooden, made up, perfect perfection of movement coordinated. They took us to a urine smelling theater where they proceeded to have all these dancers dancing to the honor of Kim Jong Il. It was all page. It was like Russia. You know, all these totalitarian communist regimes take away the culture, the
Yes.
history of the people, have them dressing like military and praising their leader. In Korea, it was the dear leader.
Yeah,
That's
cults of
so.
personality, they call them. And also, Sandy, depriving them of family relationship,
Oh.
right?
It is North Korea. I probably remains the most oppressive place on the globe. Of course, the United States is kind of inching its way up. And give us some time, but let me just say quickly because I know you're running short. We were there for a day and a half. I believe it was a day and a half. It was hard to describe quickly. They turn out all the electricity, what little bit there is of it, at 10 o'clock. Everything's black, and the people at that time, there was cannibalizing going on, not where we were, but in other regions. So, and there were one last thing. The people have been Christians for a long time. They may remember that there are renderings, artistic renderings of Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus with the little children. Jesus was blonde, I think, in these pictures. You know, it's totally inaccurate, but that's what we had for years. Kim Jong Il posed as Jesus in a mock-up of these renderings. Kim Jong Il with the little
Wow.
children, Kim Jong Il feeding the 5,000. These were photos, paintings that we saw. He hated Christians. If people were caught with a Bible, three generations of their family, I believe, are still killed. So that's just a touch of that. We came back across the Tumon River, again, guns pointed like in Berlin, but much more crude, all of it. We walked across that bridge and came back, went to a restaurant, and the restaurant owner said, "You're Americans, right?" In China, through an interpreter. "Yes, we are. Do you know what's just happened?" And he proceeds to spell the whole thing out. And I said to the interpreter, I said, is he crazy? Is he crazy?" And our host from New York City had a satellite phone, called and confirmed all of it. So that's just a part of the story.
Well, it's part of the story that is extremely well told in God's Velvet Hammer by Sandy Rios. Sandy, we're out of time for this particular edition, but I know you'll come back to us, and I hope we'll have a chance to visit at greater length about all of your experiences and insights and the leadership that you provide. God bless you, my dear. Thank you
Thank
for
you,
this
Frank.
important new book, God's
Thank you.
Velvet Hammer at sandyrios.com. Talk to you soon.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, every show I tell you that an ultrasound with preborn is $28. That's kind of the quantifier. It gives you an idea of what you can do to help to save babies through showing mothers the picture of their babies before they're born. But if you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And that's where you can, they have 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence to Preborn at preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. All right, Sandy Rios, back with you with my sweetheart, Bruce. And I need to tell you, he's a retired FBI agent. He also was a prosecutor in Cook County. He has worn a lot of hats and seen a lot of crime. But in the course of being my husband, he's met a lot of interesting people, haven't you, dear?
Yes, I have. And people I never thought I'd know.
Yeah, and people like Frank Affney.
Oh, Frank. Absolutely love Frank. Frank is like a one-man army. Every time you see him, he's working. He works, I swear, 20 hours a day.
He works 24/7. He should have the title of this show.
Frank Affney, 24/7, yes.
You know, it's true, Bruce. Frank worked in the Reagan administration as an undersecretary of state. And his passion for
Secretary of Defense.
Undersecretary of Defense. And his passion for this country is really unmatched. I mean, I love the country too. But Bruce is right. Frank works himself to the bone. If you're sitting there eating a meal, he's multitasking. He's running in and out. He's answering the phone. Seriously, he's got so many outlets, and he's done such great work. Sometimes, you know, as I've known Frank, people have been dismissive of his passion. And yet, in the long run, from my experience, Frank has always been right. Just like we talked recently about investment funds, the retirement funds of federal workers, going to the Chinese. Frank was on the warpath about this, and he's the one that whipped people into action. Yeah, so that's not a small thing. That's just one thing.
No, and that was a very important thing because literally our government was placing our federal employees, one of which I am retired, placing our investments in Chinese companies that were being run by the Chinese government, which is communist. Now, you can imagine what a coup that would be if they could pull the rug out from the money going to current and retired federal employees. What a hammer to have over people.
Yeah, and what a horrible decision.
Yeah. And just on its face, why are we investing money with communist countries?
Sorry.
And, you know, what you were saying about Frank was, I think, the first person I really heard talk about the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the United States government. He was shouting this from the time of 9/11. So that's 20 plus years ago. He was on the stump telling people, we have been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood and they have the destruction of the United States. That's their mission.
Yes, that's actually how I got to know Frank so well. I used to interview him in Chicago as a guest, you know, an expert on national security. He was always great. Frank is always great. In fact, we should tell a funny story. This is Frank Gaffney. You know, he has this, and he talks like that. This is not an affectation. This is the way Frank talks. So we found ourselves in Michigan speaking at a mutual event, and it was late when the event was over, and we were hungry, and Bruce was driving. Frank's in the back seat. And we couldn't find anything but a Burger King. Yeah. So you've never heard anything more funny till you've heard Frank order a Burger King Whopper.
Yeah.
This is Frank Gaffney.
Frank has such a distinctive and very erudite voice, even though he's not like that at all. But his voice comes across
he's very,
very proper. And I think Frank is also, he's one of these people that's very careful about what he eats. So we're out in rural Michigan, it's pushing midnight, and there is nothing open, and there's Burger King ahead of us. And so we said, it looks like Burger King, Frank, and he said, all right. And, and he was ordering. I just found it funny just listening
just to hear
this.
Frank Gaffney yes. order Burger King. Yeah.
Gaffney ordering yeah. a Whopper.
Well, we always tease him about that. But, you know, yeah. Frank, there is nothing pretentious about Frank. He's no. just a highly educated, highly skilled. He belongs where he is. He is in the arena he should be in. He's heads above in character and abilities, many of his peers. But one last thing. When I met, you know, I started interviewing him in Chicago, but when I got to D.C. as president of Concerned Women for America, he made an appointment to come see me. And I will never forget, Bruce, the briefing he gave me on the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood. It was the first time I'd ever heard such a thing, and it really kind of like my story I tell about my involvement in the abortion issue. This was my moment. Of involvement, and I joined him in that passion to stop this. I can't tell you how many hundreds of, I don't want to exaggerate, let's just say a lot of advocacy on behalf of our country against this whole initiative. And here we are again, where they have been lying low and infiltrating. You see them on the streets now supporting Hamas. Their power has not waned. It's just they went underground after people became a little bit aware of what they were doing. So Frank was prescient then, and he's prescient now. And I hope you enjoyed my interview with him. I enjoyed it. It was fun because we know each other so well. So if you'd like to tell us what you think about it, you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can go to sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net, and send me an email, an old-fashioned email. You can find us at sandyrios.com. You can listen easily there every day or do whatever you need to do, order the book, et cetera, et cetera. But you can listen on our home base too. Platform is afr.net and all podcast platforms that you are more familiar with. Okay. Honey, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. It's always wonderful to talk about Frank because Frank is a real gift from God. He is a man of integrity.
Yeah, he really is. And I hope that you heard that in this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.